This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
High noon in the District of Columbia, and we're going to jump right to the Rude Guest Hotline. Talk to Mr. Ed Werder. Of course, you can follow him on social media at WerderEdNFL. Ed, what's going on, man? Thank you for making time for us.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing well, man. We're doing well. Long been fans of your work. Excited to have you on the program. I figure we should start the conversation with what's going on in Big D. Are the Cowboys getting better?
You said nothing.
The usual, nothing. There are three ways in the NFL to improve your team in the offseason. And the first of those is through trades, then the draft, and also unrestricted free agency. And the Cowboys don't participate in large measure in one of those most important aspects, and that's free agency. In three of the last 4 years, they've been the last team in the NFL to sign an unrestricted free agent, including last year when Eric Kendricks was the only player that they signed of any real consequence. So they've been a little bit more active in the early phases of free agency this year, but really they haven't signed any difference maker, nor have they traded for a difference maker. And I think it's really incumbent on Jerry and Stephen Jones, the Cowboys front office, like to invest in Brian Schottenheimer, the only first year coach in the division, in a way that they didn't with Mike McCarthy at the end of his tenure.
How different does everything feel in Dallas now? I know that CD and Dak kind of restructured their deals, and maybe that's to get Micah, but it seems like where there once was real hope in this collection of Cowboys, it seems to be waning.
Yeah.
Well, you just wonder, you know, when they went 12-5 3 years in a row, and, you know, created opportunities to play postseason games at home, where, you know, in the last of those 3 years, they'd been the only undefeated team in the NFL. And instead, the only team that they won against in the playoffs was, you know, Tampa Bay, a team that was 8-9 that season. And it was in Tom Brady's last game. So they had a very old quarterback, and probably only Brady thought the Bucs were capable of winning in the postseason that year. You wonder if whatever window they had is now closed. I mean, you know, Dak Prescott is coming off another major injury that cost him the majority of the season. They've made a coaching change in a way that they've never been successful with before. You know, Brian Schottenheimer is 51 years old. He's never been a head coach in the NFL. He's worked for 10 different teams. I would judge him based on his performance and the results he creates, but Jerry Jones has done this two other times, promoted from within, and it has not worked out well either time with Jason Garrett and with Dave Campo. So nobody else in the NFL who made a coaching change this offseason promoted from within. The Cowboys are the only team to take that approach. And now they're sitting here in a situation where they really haven't taken advantage of any opportunity to improve their roster. I mean, you know, there were three teams last year that had a single wide receiver responsible for all of the 100-yard individual pass receiving games. Washington with Terry McLaurin was one. Pittsburgh with George Pickens was another. And the Cowboys with CeeDee Lamb were the third. Well, the other two teams, Washington and Pittsburgh, both made a major trade. Washington, Deebo Samuel, the Steelers obviously making the move for DK Metcalf. And still the Cowboys don't have somebody to threaten the defense other than CeeDee Lamb at this point.
What's your opinion of Schottenheimer?
I like him. I mean, he seems like a real leader. He seems to engage well with the players. You know, but he's got two jobs this season that he didn't have last year. He's going to be the offensive play caller. And he's the head coach for the first time, and that seems like an awful lot to ask of a guy who's never been in this position before, and inherits a team that went 7-10 last year, and starts this year as clearly the third best team in its own division. Now, they're going to say that, hey, you know, Dak Prescott's going to be healthy. When he's been healthy, they've dominated the division. I think he's 33-8 as a starter against the division. You know, but we're talking about a division now that has the two teams that. They played against each other in the NFC Championship game and an Eagles team that's defending Super Bowl champs. And I don't see what the Cowboys have done to improve, you know, to make up ground on either one of those teams.
Yeah, it's fascinating when you put it in those terms. Talking with Ed Werder here on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can give him a follow at Werder Ed NFL. Let's zoom out a little for just Dallas, because that's one of those we're just going to have to wait and watch, because if Dak hits the ground running and Mike is healthy, a lot could happen there, right?
But there's still 10 draft picks, including the 12th overall pick. And the last time they had the 12th pick, they got Micah Parsons.
That can help.
But I think you do have to say, you know, and I said this is only one of three ways to improve your team, but so far it's the only one that they seem prepared to engage in at a high level, and that's been their recent history. And it's a little, I think it's got to disappoint a guy like Micah Parsons, who at the end of the season said, look, I don't have to be the highest paid non-quarterback in football. I don't have to make $40 million a year. You know, let's do a deal before free agency so we can, you know, surround myself with better players and I'm not taking on two and three blockers on every play. And yet, you know, again, they squandered that opportunity, or so it seems.
It sure does. One player I'm interested in, honestly, for Washington, as they kind of appear to not be willing to make a big move on the edge. What is the deal with Tank Lawrence? Does he really only want to stay in Dallas, or could that reach a situation where he heads out of town?
No, I think there's a high potential for him to sign with another team. I know his agent, David Cantor, has, you know, met with the Cowboys. He actually represents quite a few Cowboys players, including Jordan Lewis, who just left the franchise for Jacksonville. And Rico Dowdle, who had his first 1,000-yard rushing season and remains unsigned, and the Cowboys seem to have replaced him with Javonte Williams as a third down back and prepared to draft a back. I think Lawrence is open to the idea of leaving. And, you know, the Cowboys presented him with, or his agent presented the Cowboys with a number that it would take to keep him off the free agent market. And clearly the Cowboys did not respond favorably, and they allowed him to go out and see what there is out there for him. I think he's going to, you know, he's not like a young player who's, you know, a free agent for the first time and is going to jump at the first opportunity. I think he's being very deliberate, you know, as he's, you know, toward the end of his career here,
sure,
to make a decision that involves a lot of factors that might go beyond what's the money and what's the opportunity to play. It's like, how is this going to affect my family in terms of our quality of our lives and so forth? And, you know, I mean, he's an older player who missed a lot of games last year.
Right. Yeah.
And he didn't ever come back from a week 4 injury, because it seemed by the time he was healthy enough to consider playing again, you know, they were no longer competing for a postseason berth, and he was shut down. Now, how involved he was in that decision, I don't know. Maybe they wanted him to play, and he chose, you know, not to take that risk, given that there was, you know, no incentives as far as the team making the playoffs. And he knew he was going to be an unrestricted free agent. So, But I think he's willing to move on. Obviously, he had a lot of success when Dan Quinn was the defensive coordinator here. He is an exceptional player against the run and as a pass rusher, and so he seems to fit the requirements of what DQ would want in Washington. And I know he has an offer from another team, and another team has told him that they're going to make a presentation by the end of today. So I think he could make a decision soon. But like I said, I think it's going to be a slow process involving a lot of factors that might not apply to other players.
I like when an older player, I mean, the guy's only 34, I believe, but
that's old in the football
years. In the football world. But like, he's made enough money and has accomplished enough that he is willing to take his time and look at all the options. Like, I'm glad to hear that.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Zooming out even more then, I saw you had some comments via your Twitter page on kind of what San Fran is trying to do, and they're trying to thread the needle. They're trying to rebuild and stay competitive at the same time, at least for me looking from afar.
Yeah, I mean, they've made some really, you know, significant changes on their roster, and it seems like the identity of the team is in transition as they prepare for, you know, having to account for a major quarterback salary, at least as far as the guy who's playing. I guess they did have to account for Trey Lance's salary as a number three overall pick for a time. But, you know, they're expected to have to sign Brock Purdy to a major deal this offseason. They've indicated a willingness to do that. And it seems like with, you know, moving on from Deebo Samuel, Kyle Juszczyk, their, you know, fullback, that they're prepared to create a different playing style under Kyle Shanahan and build the team more around the strengths of Brock Purdy rather than trying to have a supporting cast that sort of elevates his game. They're expecting him now to elevate the performance of the players around him as they create a system that plays to his strengths in a way maybe that we haven't seen to this point.
They've been so good for so long now. And
until last year, yeah.
Yeah, and those expectations for them now, could the wall be closing in on them a little bit?
Well, it's sort of an interesting division, right? I mean, yeah. We saw Seattle's obviously undergoing a major change. They traded Metcalf. They cut Tyler Lockett. They moved on from Geno Smith and signed Sam Darnold. So the whole division seems sort of in chaos or transition. The Rams are moving on from Cooper Kupp. They seem like they contemplated the possibility of playing without Matthew Stafford, although they've remedied their relationship with him, and he's still their starting quarterback. But, the 49ers have been so competitive ever since Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch took over the organization. And then last year they failed in a way that they didn't expect. I think a lot of that, like in Dallas, you know, injuries were responsible for that.
Yeah.
But they seem to be reacting in a far different way as far as at least a soft reset, if not a major rebuild, whereas the Cowboys seem to just be believing that once they get healthy and they have their quarterback, you know, they're going to be significant and be able to compete again for the postseason. But the 49ers seem more willing to change their entire identity going forward this year.
We're talking with Ed Werder here via the Rude Guest Hotline, National NFL Insider. You can give him a follow at Werder Ed NFL. One of the biggest things is Kansas City's period of dominance, and you still have Mahomes there, which keeps you incredibly relevant no matter what the season. They've lost a fair amount. Do you think they've done enough to try to rebuild that offensive line? They signed the dude that basically was Trent Williams' backup with the Niners to be their left tackle of the future.
Jalen Moore, yeah.
Yeah.
He's barely been a contributing player in San Francisco behind Trent Williams, and the Chiefs gave him a 2-year deal for $30 million to be their new left tackle. Obviously, they had a lot of issues on the offensive line last year. Mahomes was sacked 47 times, including 6 times in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
The most of any game in his career. He was hit 198 times and pressured on 36% of his dropbacks. Those are both the highest numbers of his career. And that all came despite him getting rid of the ball in 2.8 seconds on average, which is the quickest of his career. So, yeah, the Chiefs have a lot to do in that regard, but it's hard to really doubt the Chiefs. I mean, we've seen them, you know, several variations of this offense. I mean, with Tyreek Hill, without Tyreek Hill, and yet they've been able to create success over a sustained period of time in a way that very few franchises have. That's the greatness of Mahomes and Andy Reid, and Brett Veach, the general manager, has been very creative. So, yeah, I think that's their challenge, is to create an offensive line that can offer better protection for Mahomes. But I think that team is capable of sustaining their success, even as there's more competition in their own division. Forget having to beat the Ravens and the Bills. Once you get in the playoffs, to get to a Super Bowl, as they've had to do in recent years, now to get out of the division, you've got to beat, you know, an emerging team in Denver, San Diego, you know, or the Chargers. I'm sorry, the Los Angeles Chargers, and now you got Pete Carroll with Geno Smith with the Raiders. So the division is going to be more competitive with the Chiefs than they've experienced, I think, any time in the Mahomes era. So I don't doubt those three guys, because they've shown that they're capable of making significant changes, and Mahomes is capable of winning with almost any cast. But they are clearly more vulnerable, as they demonstrated last year, than they have been in recent years.
Yep, it's remarkable. And then perhaps the wackiest version of the quarterback carousel unfolding. Geno Smith goes to the Raiders, Darnold to the Seahawks. We're kind of waiting to hear what happens with Aaron Rodgers. Russ Fields goes to the Jets. Tell me who you think in the quarterback carousel cycle, who got better and who got worse?
Well, I think the Raiders got better. I mean, I think Geno Smith the last 2 years has proven he's a top five, you know, passing quarterback, and the Raiders had no stability whatsoever at that position and can't compete in the division without that. So I think the Raiders, of all the teams so far, have gotten better in that regard. I mean, it's not hard to say that Geno Smith is better than Sam Darnold, even though Darnold had, you know, great success last year statistically and in terms of what he contributed to the Vikings winning 14 games last year. Cost himself a lot of money, I think, with his two performances, with everything on the line against the Lions and the Rams in the playoffs, having his worst games. But Aaron Rodgers, it's kind of crazy that the whole league is now holding its breath, waiting to see what this, you know, 41-year-old quarterback who didn't have a pronounced impact on turning the Jets around is going to do next, and how that will affect a guy like Russell Wilson, who played so well for the majority of the season for the Steelers, and then, like Darnold, played his worst football at the end of the year in an offense that just wasn't very dynamic. But now they've gone out, and like I said, they've got DK Metcalf. They still have Pickens. We assume they'll do something at the running back position, given the losses that they've just had at that spot. But, weird situation in Pittsburgh. And I don't know what Rodgers would be waiting for if he's choosing between the Steelers and the Giants. Sure seems like the Steelers are eons ahead of the Giants in terms of being competitive in their division. They were last year.
He's totally probably planning a trip when training camp starts.
Yeah, Tomlin won't let him do ayahuasca in the locker room. He's got to figure that out. Ed, I really appreciate having you on. Obviously, it is free agency, but the best thing here in Washington is that it finally appears they have figured out the quarterback position. Just I fear Commanders fans are getting too down in the weeds about what they've determined maybe isn't the best free agency cycle so far. What do you think Laremy Tunsil does for Jaden Daniels?
Well, I mean, I think what the Commanders are showing they're doing is they're trying to build upon the great success, unexpected success they had in year one under Dan Quinn, and with Jaden Daniels, they're trying to take, you know, full advantage of having a quarterback on a rookie contract, as they should. They've added talent with Deebo Samuel, creating, you know, a physical option, one of the most versatile players in the NFL coming off a down season. But, you know, he's going to be playing for his next contract. He'll be a very motivated player. Tunsil's one of the top five tackles in football. We just saw what average to below average. I mean, the Titans signed a left tackle who gave up the most sacks in the league to a ridiculous contract. That's how desirable tackles are. So I think Washington made a great move with Tunsil. I think he's a top five player at left tackle. I really question what the Texans are doing coming off a bad season, you know, where they couldn't protect their quarterback and didn't function as an offensive line and got C.J. Stroud sacked 52 times. Yeah, I think Washington's totally in go-for-it mode. I mean, they know they were close last year. They beat one of the top teams in the conference on the road in the playoffs, Detroit, the number one seed. So they've got their eyes firmly set on taking down and challenging the Eagles in the division, as they should.
Ed, thank you very much for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Good to talk to both of you guys. Respect both of what you do and how you do it. And covered a lot of games when Brian Mitchell was back there returning punts in a way that nobody wanted to see on the other side of the field.
I appreciate that.
Thanks, Ed. Take care, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, man.
Ed Werder, calling from Dallas, covers the entire NFL. Give him a follow at Werder, Ed, NFL, one of the greats to do it. I want to dig in a little bit more on some of his comments, specifically on, hey, Washington's going for it. That's good news, people.
Hell yeah.